Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections from the Catholic Community at Stanford University. These are a series of podcasts of Sunday homilies, reflections, and occasional talks given by the staff of the Catholic Community and their guests. Today's speaker is Father Nathan Castle, OP, the Pastor Director of the Catholic Community. It is the ninth Sunday of Ordinary Time. The readings are from Cycle A.
The season of Lent, which will begin together on Wednesday, moves us toward Easter. And I think the readings that were given on this last time that we gather like this before Lent begins, they can move us just through these last few days to kind of help us get ready for what will happen to us in Lent. Christians, and especially we Catholics, we really relish this Lenten time because we know that what we try to do all year long, we do with a particular focus in the season of Lent, and we know that we'll be supported by everybody else, that the whole tribe of us focuses during the Lenten season on all the truths of our faith and of our lives and how we live our lives. I think the readings today kind of set us up with the difference between our exterior world, our outside, and what's inside of us. This was a frustration for Jesus a great deal of the time because he went out like the sower and the seed. He went out and spread his good news and his presence to anybody who would have him. And he would be with anybody who would give him the time. He'd speak with anybody. It was part of what got him into such trouble. He didn't respect the categories that separated one kind of person from another. He just gave himself. And he's had the hardest time being received by people like us who were active in the formal practice of religion. Because sometimes those folk knew the rules and were quick to do them, and their knowing of the rules made them aware of who wasn't living up to them. Well, in the first reading today, Moses has just finished leading the people through the desert. Thanks be to God, they're almost home. They get to cross into the land that they've been longing for, and they get to begin to build a life. So it has the kind of tone of kind of foundation, fundamental things. So they're going to build a foundation in this new place. And Moses says to them, "Now Israel, what does your God require of you? Only that you love the Lord your God, walk in God's ways, serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul." Later, Jesus is going to kind of quote that back to a young man who wants to inherit everything. "Master, what do I need to do to inherit everlasting life? I want the universe. I want it all." And Jesus will say to him, "Then give away all your stuff, because you're stuffed. You're full. Empty yourself, and I'll fill you. Come and be with me. Befriend me, and let me befriend you." But in that story, the rich young man whose name we don't even know, goes away sad on his own because his possessions were many, but he was possessed by them. Moses says, "The Lord just wants you to walk in his ways and wants you to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and then keep the commandments. Do this and you'll do well." In the gospel, this is at the end of the Sermon on the Mount that we've been hearing for weeks now. Jesus has set this exciting vision for what the world could be like if we all lived, if God got God's heart's desire. That we would all live in such a way that the last would be first, that the poor would inherit the earth, that everyone mourning would be comforted. He's gotten us through this dream of what the world could be like. And then he says, "But not everybody who calls who knows my name and says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. In fact, many are going to end up saying, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? And didn't we even cast out demons in your name? Didn't we do many deeds of power in your name? I did this, I did that, I did the other, all in your name. That's all stuff that's outside. It's stuff that I did. I did this, I did that, I did the other. I feel like in our community, we do a lot. I've known you now for 4 years, and you do all kinds of things. Doesn't it frustrate you sometimes when you feel like you're doing and doing and doing, and you have to leave something halfway through because you got to go do the next thing? There's always the next thing and more to do. Isn't it frustrating when sometimes at the end of the day, or maybe even in the middle of it, you feel like, what in the world is this all about? I forgot why I'm doing this at all. Sometimes we have a hunger inside of us. I think there's a little voice or just a little dis-ease inside that says, this is disconnected. All this stuff that I'm trying to do. And on the other hand, don't you also know the feeling when, for whatever reason, what's really deepest in your heart of hearts gets expressed all day long? Sometimes you can hear people light up when they speak about their vocation because they're doing just exactly what they feel called to. You've had that feeling too, haven't you? When you know there's a great consistency between really what's going on in your heart of hearts and what's going on outside of you. And conversely, we know what the other thing feels like. I think Lent is that time when the whole church together tries to say, I want to be one with you. I want what happens outside to be consistent with what's inside. Jesus has to end up saying to someone who's calling his name, yes, that's true that you did all these things, but I don't know you because you were busy. But I don't know you because you wouldn't let me know you. You wouldn't really let me be inside. You were busy doing stuff in my name, but I don't know you. Wouldn't that be a sad thing if that were true of us? And maybe to some degree it is, and if it is, then look no further for what Lent might be about. What if Lent was just us saying between God and ourselves, I want you to know me. I really do. I don't want to be hidden from you. And I don't want to be too busy. I really want you to know me. I'd recommend this practice. It helps me sometimes. Sometimes when I go to prayer, I don't do anything except try to sit still. And then I think of my own heart, a dark jungle. And I think of a person or two who have made their way to the center of it. Those brave explorers that risked it all to find the heart of me and maybe left a path that someone else could come down. Sometimes I'll do nothing but sit still and I'll think of the fact that I'm loved. Because when I really I allow that consciousness to just be absorbed all through me, the fact that I'm loved, then all those other thoughts about that I worry about, what happens if this fails or that goes wrong, all these plans that I make, and I'm always making plans, and I'm never in charge of all of them. What if this doesn't happen, or what if they don't like that, or I'm free to fail in what I do outside, because I know that I'm so well loved that the people who love me don't really care whether I succeed at tasks or plans. I'm going to be beloved to them regardless. It's kind of nice to be able to report, oh, this thing happened, it turned out great. But it doesn't matter to those I love because they love me regardless of what goes on the outside. And if that's true of some people, mere human folk. Like my dearest friends, and my mom loves me like that. She doesn't care whether I succeed or not. She just loves me. I sometimes will just sit there and think of how well-loved I am. And then I say, okay, God, now I think I'm ready to talk to you. Because I know that it's really only a shadow. Whatever quantity of love that anybody can grace me with, I know that they only got that from you. And I want to know you better. I want you to know me better. Because I think if that relationship between God and us, if we're really loving the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, that's really interior. And then the actions that can flow out of me and out of you, then they make sense. Then they have, even if they're very disparate things, because we often have sets of interests that are quite varied, but if they're coming from a peaceful, contented heart, they have a graced connection to one another. And even though I might have lots of different demands on my time and talents, they have a kind of graced unity because they all flow from the heart of God connected to my heart. If we do work on just that during Lent, then all the projects and things, yes, casting out demons and doing powerful works in your name and whatever it be, God will appreciate all those things. But more than anything, you heard it today. You hear the word of God addressed to you saying, above all, yes, I'll applaud all of your successes, but most of all, I want to know you. That would be the greatest gift, I think, that we could give God as we move into this season of renewal, death, and new life. That Jesus would be able to say by the end of it, oh, thank God, you finally let me know you.
Thank you for listening to Catholic Cardinal Reflections from the Catholic community at Stanford University. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu, email us at catholic@stanford.edu, or call us at 650-725-0080. We invite you to visit our offices at the third floor of Old Union at the Center for Interreligious Community Learning and Experiences, or mail us at Catholic Community at Stanford, P.O. Box 20301, Stanford, California, 94309. This is Father Isaiah Mary Milano, OP, the Associate Director and Parochial Vicar for the Catholic Community at Stanford, and the voice of Catholic Cardinal Reflections. Till next time, God bless you.